And husband Shiva left her body. She was able to do this by incorporating yoga practices, so she was able to equipose her breath, raise her breath. It would become part of Agni's fire, and so she wouldn't feel the pain of the fire. And she perished this way gloriously because she was upholding this principle so much that she chose to not acquiesce, to not accept this heinous act. Then so much so that Lord Shiva, it's called pralaya, Lord Shiva did the pralaya dance. His hairs were scattered all over. It was like he was a madman. It was like when he did the Nataraj dance 7 times, but even more. And the earth was, things were changing in the earth. There were dust storms, and they were wondering, because we've been seeing this in the classes, that the dust storms, they were wondering, where is this dust coming from? It's not from this. Is it coming from so many guests coming? No, it's not from that. Is it coming from this? No, it's Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is very angry. He's very angry. And in the triumvirate, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Shiva's the one of destruction, so people were very, very concerned. Because this was a heinous act, and even so much so that when some people still continue this in India, now it was outlawed. It was outlawed in India. However, that doesn't mean anything in the villages. The villages in India still go on. I went to some villages and they asked me, when is the British Raj coming? They still thought the British Raj were in power in this village way out. And I was standing in Vrindavan with Prabhupada, and the whistle sounded in the distance, and he said, "What is that, Gurudas?" And I said, "It's the Janta Mail, and it gets to Calcutta at such and such a time." "And what's that?" "Oh," and then I said, "Well, the Tufan Express comes at this time." And he said, "Now you're an Indian." Because I was in the village, and I heard the whistles, and I automatically know, "Oh, that's the Tufan Express." So in the villages, it's different. And to this day, some people still, because some people still act. I met some kings, some Maharajas, that were still acting like Maharajas. And so some people, even to this day, impose this law on the wife when something, the husband says, "You have to do this," for whatever the reason. And this process is called sati. And it's called sati because of this pastime. So you can imagine this conflict. She wanted to go to her family because she still had a connection to her family, but her husband Shiva said no. So she didn't know what to do. She still had some feeling for her family, but she had more feeling for Lord Shiva. And this is the same conflict in the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata. Do I fight my relatives who are doing heinous acts, but they're still my relatives? Or I ask Krishna, what should I do? Because I obviously still have some feeling for my family members, but they're not acting right. And so what should I do? And so the whole Bhagavad Gita is what to do. To keep our dharma, to keep our principles, even when we're challenged. I'm going to read the next verse to continue this saga. Should I read the translation and the verse, or just the verse? Yastva amta hale vibhuta jala kalapaha svasala sase aparta dig gajendraha vitataya nritati udita Dur Deva Jaham Uchata Hasa Stanito Bina Dik. At the time of dissolution, Lord Shiva's hair is scattered and he pierces the rulers of different directions with his trident. He laughs and dances proudly, scattering their hands like flags as thunder scatters the clouds all over the world. Purport. Prasuti, who appreciated the power and strength of her son-in-law, Lord Shiva, is describing what he does at the time of dissolution. Thus, description indicates that the strength of Lord Shiva is so great that Daksha's power could not be set in comparison to it. And all of Daksha's armies and everything were there, and Shiva's minions were there, and Shiva's minions are goblins and ghosts and disenfranchised souls, and they were getting to battle. And Lord Shiva's trident usually is to do what? To overcome, who knows, to overcome what? Lord Shiva's trident?
False ego.
Sorry?
False ego. What would you say, false ego?
False ego. Yeah, the threefold miseries. What are the threefold miseries? So, from providential miseries, miseries from other entities, and miseries from ourselves, threefold miseries. Now, this is also important that we ourselves do not undermine our spiritual practice. As I said yesterday, as Prabhupada told me, there's enough tapasya in the world that we don't have to put any more on ourselves unnecessarily, and other living entities will do that all the time to us. They're either envious or they have another agenda which has nothing to do with us, or they're self-centered and they're insensitive to us. So we should not encourage undermining our own spiritual practice by ourselves either. And this is done by guilt, because we might think we're not doing our seva so well, or it's guilt because the standard is high and we may not be practicing our sadhana as well as we can. So yes, because we care and because we want to do the best we can, we become anxious, but at the same time, we must know that Krishna is very forgiving and even very playful, and our little misdeeds are not very important in the overall schemata of the whole cosmic and universe. But what is important is our precious relationship with Krishna, acintaveda-veda-tattva, and so try your best. That's what Krishna wants. Not artificially, not more or less, but what we actually can do naturally, not artificially, because, as Prabhupada told me, teasing me one morning, if you do something that I don't forgive, Krishna will forgive you. He can. Lord Shiva, with his trident in hand, dances over the rulers of the different planets, and his hair is scattered, just as the clouds are scattered over all directions in order to plunge the different planets into incessant torrents of rain. Clouds are there, rain is there, the planets are all scattered, Shiva's dancing, his hair is there, dust is all over the place, bad omens are happening, left sides are twitching, buckets are empty, they're not full, flags are not, and heinous things are falling from the sky. In the last phase of dissolution, all the planets became inundated with water, and that inundation is caused by the dancing of Lord Shiva. So now there's flooding. Not only dissolution, now there's flooding. So, Lord Shiva is the best devotee of Lord Krishna. We must treat all devotees nicely, especially Lord Shiva, because if he gets angry, you can see what happens. This dance is also called Pralaya dance, as I mentioned before, or dance of dissolution. Prasuti could understand that the dangers ahead resulted not only from Daksha's having neglected her daughter, but also because of his neglecting the prestige and honor of Lord Shiva. So you see, it's very important to maintain the Vedic culture and its and its ways that we can live harmoniously in this world. And when something is deviated like this, then chaos can happen. Text number 11. Amar Sayat Yatim Tam Akshat Tejasam Manu Putam Durni Kshasam Buru Kutya Karla Dam Strabir Udasta Bhaganam Syat Suvasti Krim Kapat Yato Vidhat Dahu. Amarya Sativa. After causing to become angry, Tam, him, Lord Shiva, Asya Tejasaham, with an unbearable effulgence, Manu Plutam, filled with anger, Dun Nir Kyasyam, not able to be looked at, Bru Kutya, by the movement of his brows, Karala Dam Stribahi, by his fearful teeth, Udasta Bhaganam, having scattered the luminaries, Syat, there should be, Svasti, good fortune, Kim, how, Kapiyataha, causing Lord Shiva to be angry, Vidyatahu, of Brahma. Translation. The gigantic black man bared his fearful teeth by the movement of his brows. He scattered the luminaries all over the sky, and he covered them with his strong, piercing effulgence. Because of the misbehavior of Daksha, even Lord Brahma, Daksha's father, could not have been saved from the great exhibition of anger. Text 12. Bahu evam ivigna durishamane yaneme dakshyasya muhir mahatmanaha Ud pitahur ut patamataha sahas raso bava yaha diva bumi cha pariyat. Bahu, much. Ivam, in this manner. Udvignya drisha, with nervous glances. Uchyamani, while this was being said. Nyanima, by the persons assembled at the sacrifice, Dakshyasaha of Daksha, Muha, again and again, Maha Atmanaha, strong hearted, Utpataha appeared, Utpata Tamaha, very powerful symptoms, Sahasrasaha, by the thousands. Bhavya Avya, producing fear, Divya in the sky, Bhumau on the earth, Cha Paryak, Cha and Paryak from all sides. Translation. While all the people talked amongst themselves, Daksha saw dangerous omens from all sides, from the earth, from the sky. And that's what I was saying. Now, the various omens were appearing, and they're good and bad according to the manifestation. As I said, there are many, and maybe they'll be described here. In this verse, Daksha has been described as Mahatma. The word Mahatma has been commented upon by different commentators in various manners. Viraraghava Acharya has indicated that this word Mahatma means steady in heart. That is to say that Daksha was so strong-hearted that even when his beloved daughter was prepared to lay down her life, he was steady and unshaken. But in spite of his being so strong-hearted, he was perturbed when he saw the various disturbances created by the gigantic black demon. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that even if one is called Mahatma, a great soul, unless he exhibits the symptoms of the Mahatma, he should be considered a Duratma, or a degraded soul. Just like Prabhupada says, he gave the example of a snake with a jeweled crown. The example, the snake with the jeweled crown, is somebody with material qualifications. Let's say they have a degree of education, Prabhupada's example is. But if they have a degree, or if they have qualifications and they do not use them, the example is a snake with a jeweled crown, and if they're not using their life for the betterment of themselves or humanity, then their bite is even more poisonous because it's not expected. The snake without the jeweled crown you expect to bite, but the snake with the jeweled crown bites, it's not expected. So this is Duratma. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.13, the word Mahatma describes the pure devotee of the Lord. Mahatmanas tu mam pratha devam prakrita astraha. A Mahatma is always under the guidance of the internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus have with such a misbehaved person as Daksha be a Mahatma. A Mahatma is supposed to have all the good qualities of the demigods, and thus Daksha, lacking these qualities, could not be called a Mahatma. He should instead be called a Duratma, a degraded soul. The word Mahatma to describe the qualifications of Daksha is used sarcastically. So yes, he's strong-hearted, but what it means is he's stubborn. And not only stubborn, so stubborn that he's overlooking these Vedic principles. So stubborn because he didn't like Shiva, that he wouldn't receive Lord Shiva, so much so that his daughter commits sati. She takes her life, and because he's so stubborn, he doesn't even say anything or do anything. So that's not a Mahatma. That's just a stubborn Duratma. Duvatsa Rudra Chacha Mahamako Manan Yadhir Vaman Nakir Uda Yadakaha Pingaha Piskaha Par Radrana Rana Anai Para Drava Dabir Vidrana Varid Yataha. Tavat, very quickly, Saha, that Rudra Anucharahai, by the followers of Lord Shiva, Mahamakya, the arena of the great sacrifices, Nana, various kinds, Ayudahai, with weapons, Vamakai, of short stature, Uda Yudahai, upraised, Pingaha, blackus, Pisangahai, yellowish, Makahar, Udara, Anai, who, with bellies and faces like sharks, Paradra, Vida, Bahi, running all around, Vidura, O Vidura, Anva Rud Yataha. was surrounded. My dear Vidura, all the followers of Lord Shiva surrounded the arena of sacrifice. They were short stature and were equipped with various kinds of weapons. Their bodies appeared to be like those of sharks, blackish and yellowish. They ran all around the sacrificial arena and thus began to create disturbances. There's a very, way back in an alley in Vrindavan, there's a Shiva temple. And in it is a painting. And it's a very nice painting. And on one side is Parvati in a very red sari, a wedding sari, looking very nicely. She's standing very beautifully. And in the door comes Lord Shiva with his trident. He's looking beautiful. Himalaya is coming and is here. But with Shiva are these minions that they're describing. It's a really interesting painting because there's Parvati. She's standing out beautifully. There's Lord Shiva coming in. But with them are these short stature. They've got teeth. They've got long ears. They've got weapons. And they're coming into the wedding party. And it looks like, where's the food? They're coming in. They're racing in the door. It's a really interesting painting. And Parvati standing upright, beautiful. But her whole, all her party, her guests, her family, they're fainting because they see these minions of Lord Shiva swooping into the door like, where's the food? Like I said. Their bodies appeared to be like those of sharks, blackish and yellowish. They ran all around the sacrificial arenas and thus began to create disturbances. So just think, if some of us just now started running around the temple, here we're sitting so nicely for years hearing the Shastra, but if somebody just got up, took their clothes off, took their hair like this, then their friends came, and they're running around. Not only that, suddenly it starts raining. The temple is flooding. There's dust all around. And there's flags not waving, elephants not doing. All the bad omens are in the door. This is the world that's happening suddenly in the assembly. It's all chaos. Kachid Bhajan Mahu Prag Vamsa Pani Salam Tatha Parai Sada Agni Dra Salam Cha Tad Viharam Vahan Hansam Kichit Sam Vabhan Jaha Pulled Down Prak Vamsaha. The pillars of the sacrificial pandal, Patni Salam, the female quarters, Tata, also, Apari, others, Sadaha, the sacrificial arena, Agna, Dhira Salam, the house of the priest, Cha, and Tat Vihraham, the house of the chief of the sacrifice, Maham, Ansaham, the house of the kitchen department. Translation, some of the soldiers pulled down the pillars which were supporting the pandal of sacrifice. So not only are they doing that, but now they're wrecking the altar. Some of them entered the female quarters. Some began destroying the sacrificial arena and some entered the kitchen and the residential quarters. Text number 15. Ru raju yagya patrana tatai ki gain anasyanam kudesam amatritam kichad bubirta vide mekya hala. Ru raju broke. Yagya patrani, the pots used in the sacrifice. Tataha, so. Ika, some. Agnin, the sacrificial fires. Anasyanam, extinguished. Kandisu, on the sacrificial arenas. Amutranam, past urine. Kachit, some. Bibitaha, tore down. Vidi markaha, the boundary lines of the sacrificial arena. Translation, they broke all the pots made for use in the sacrifice, and some of them began to extinguish the sacrificial fire. Some tore down the boundary line of the sacrificial arena, and some passed urine on this arena. Even to this day, sometimes heinous acts are done. Not quite so heinous, but when we were getting the Raman Reti, Krishna Balaram land. I was actually going to talk about it tonight. We had a friend in London, and she was a bridge bossy, Shama Devi. She had a big following also from East Africa. We would do kirtan together, beautiful kirtan. She had some Braj tunes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Have you ever heard that tune? And they're beautiful kirtans, and so much so, and Jamuna, and she would sing so nicely together. And when we left, she would actually display Vipralamba. She would actually swoon and faint. And her hair would go, and you could see her ripulation here on her wrists and arms. She just loved us, and we loved her. And one time, her deities were impounded by the officials of England because they thought she was an antique dealer.
Oh.
Yes, and she was going to resell these artifacts. And I had to go to the customs house and explain that this is actually her worshipable deities. She's not going to resell them. And so they freed her deities. So we were that close. We were that close. And then she lived in Vrindavan, was her base, and it was in Raman Reti, just where we were now given the new plot of land for the Krishna Balaram temple. She wanted the same piece of land. She already had an auditorium, a goshala, an ashram. It was sprawling. It was right down the street. She really didn't need it. It was very ambitious. But so much so, she wanted it. So now we're enemies. And when we were getting ready, when Radharani gave us this plate of land with this chit that said, yes, yes, now we were preparing, and so there was a Vedic pit that we were making. We put Ganesh in there, all the things. And she sent a gunda, and the gunda put feces in this pit. Just like that, they despoiled. But she felt bad because it was exposed. Sometimes you may do some injustice, but when it's exposed, then you can't do this anymore. Before I was a devotee, I was a part of the civil rights movement in the United States. I worked with Martin Luther King Jr. and all the young people, and they were doing, towns were subjugating people, making them slaves. And what we did is, not only did we protest it, but we exposed it. And once it was exposed, it couldn't be done anymore. Similarly, I helped make a film about how the uranium tracings in the mines were spoiling the water tables in the Pine Ridge and Red Table Native American reservations. They were mining and leaving the waste, and children were getting cleft palates and club feet. And we made a film where the green grass grew, it was called, and exposed it. And once it was exposed, they couldn't hide it anymore, and the laws changed. So that's what's happening here. They're defiling the sacrificial area. Text number 16. Abhat hanta mini yanye ike pagnir ataryayan apare jaghur devam pratyasan palyam tani. Abhanta blocked the way. Munim, the sages, anye, others, ike san, patnahi, the women, atrajan, threatened, apari, others, jagraha, arrested, devam, the demigods, pratyanam, near, at hand, paliyatnam, who were fleeing. Some blocked the way of the fleeing sages. Some threatened the women assembled there, and some arrested the demigods who were fleeing the Pandav. So all chaos was happening. Usually, when the sages passed, people would pay obeisances. When the women passed, the Matajis standing up in respect. This time, blocking the ways, threatening, and some arrested the demigods who were fleeing the Pandal. They wanted to get away, and now they're arrested. This is total chaos. And there's no purports because it's evident. There's not even any purports to these verses because they're self-evident. Birgam babandya manimam rajibadraha prajapitnam chandrasaha pusamaham devam bagam nandiswara grahi. Briga muni babandya arrested maniman Bridyabaha, Prajapam, Prajapi, Daksha, Chandrasaha, Kamjisha, Purasam, Pusa, Devam, the demigod, Bhagam, Bhaga, Nandasvaha, Agrahit, arrested. Translation, Maniman, one of the followers of Lord Shiva, arrested Brigumuni. Have you heard of the book of Bhrigu? Do you know what the Book of Bhrigu is?
It's the head of the
Sorry?
Kind of, isn't it head of the whatever you connect to in the world, as the astrology or whatever the new day?
Sorry?
It has the astrology of every living being?
Yes. It has our whole life, past, present, and future, the Book of Bhrigu. Manuman, one of the followers of Lord Shiva, arrested Bhrigu Muni and the Virabhadra, the black demon, arrested Prajapati Daksha, another follower, who was named Chandisha, arrested Pusha, Nandeshwara arrested the demigod Bhaga. Text 18. Sarva Aver Evrat Vijo Drispa Sadasaha Sa Diva Kasaha Tair Arad Yaman Manaha Subrahasham Grabapir Nakaja Dravan. Survey all. Ava, certainly. Ritvaha, the priests. Drisvaha, after seeing. Sadhya Saha, all the members assembled in the sacrifice. Sadhavakshaha, along with the demigods, tied by those stones. Ardhyamanaha, being disturbed, Sabrisham, very greatly, Grabiha, by stones, Na, Ekada, in different directions, Adravan, began to disperse. Translation. There was a continuous shower of stones, and all the priests and other members assembled at the sacrifice were put into immense misery. For fear of their lives, they dispersed in different directions. Juvataha Shruva Hastaha Samasuni Bhagavan Bhavaha Purga Lulusi Sadasi Yohasak Chimrasu Darshaham Juvataha, offering sacrificial oblations. Shruva Hastya, with the sacrificial ladle in his hand. Smarsharuni, the mustache. Bhagavan, the possessor of all opulences. Bhavaha, Virabhadra, Bhrigo, of Bhrigomani. Lulusi, Turab, Sadasi, in the midst of the assembly. Yahu, Bhrigomuni, Ahasa, had smiled. Smarasu, his mustache. Dar, Sayan, showing. Translation. Virabhadra tore off the mustache of Bhrigu, who was offering the sacrificial oblations with the hands of fire. So you can really see that this is chaos. This is not normal. Somebody's mustache is being torn off while they're doing the sacrificial oblations. This is obviously not normal. Bhagasya Nitra Bhagavan Patresha Ruja Bhavani Ujahara Sadasti Krishna Ya Sapajan Ushachachat Bhagasya of Bhaga Nitra, both eyes, Bhagavan Vibhadra Patasya, having been thrust, Rusa, with great anger, Bhuvi, on the ground, Ujahara, plucked out. Sadastiha, while situated in the assembly of the Vishra, Akshna, by the movement of his eyebrows, Yahu, Bhaga, Saptaham, Daksha, who was cursing Lord Shiva, Ashuchat, encouraged. Translation. Virabhadra immediately caught Bhaga, who had been moving his eyebrows during Bhrigu's cursing of Lord Shiva, and out of great anger thrust him to the ground and forcibly put out his eyes. Because Krishna is the reservoir of everything, that sometimes we manifest seemingly things that Lord Krishna does, just like when he would fall down in Vrindavan, pretend to fall down, and then Radharani was falling down, and then he would, they would fall down, and then he would kiss Radharani. Now, all these things, because Lord Krishna manifested all these things, that sometimes we manifest them too. Now, these great exalted souls, great yogis, great sadhus, because of this insult, they manifested very great anger. And so that's why sometimes we manifest anger, insensitivity, selfishness, etc. Because even if they couldn't control, how hard is it for us to control? But we have means, because we have, from the Vedic times, enduring the thread of the Maha Mantra, which connects us directly to Krishna. So, when these qualities manifest in our own life, whatever, anger, delusion, selfishness, let us be greater than these exalted sages and control our senses, because that's what yogis do. They control their senses rather than being controlled by them. So I am very fortunate to be in the assembly of devotees for 50 years and no one pulled my mustache off. Thank you very much. Any questions? Comments? Yes, please.
Do you want to tell us some pastime with Prabhupada? Some interesting pastime?
I'm going to do that tonight, but give me a category. Tell me a category. Give me some, what you want me to talk about.
When he was very angry, Prabhupada was very angry.
Okay. Now, Prabhupada didn't display this very much. I saw him display when we were holding the altar up when it was collapsing, strength. But there was one sannyasi who went off to Radhakund, and he was just attracting and interacting with women. And Prabhupada, I saw him very angry. And I never saw him so angry as that time. Regarding anger at me, when the Krishna Balaram temple was not opened on the date that it was supposed to, he got very angry at me. And people said, how could you take it? And I said, really, it really was like a caress. And I deserved it, because he wanted it a certain date. And of course, I said, well, let's open it anyway. It was half done, you know. I said, let's do it. Prabhupada wants it. Yeah, yeah. And Surabhi, the architect, said, Gurudas, it's not ready yet. Yeah, yeah, but Prabhupada wants it. Let's do it anyway. Finally, Jamuna says, Gurudas, she is my wife. Gurudas, it's not ready. Oh, okay. all the exalted souls, the leaders. No, Prabhupada wants it. Jivuna says, it's not ready. Okay. So, the other time, we wanted to register the society in India. I had already done it with Mukunda Maharaj in England. It took a year. But once it's done in England, it's strong, registered society. We had the Prime Minister's solicitor. Now, in India, he wanted the same thing. We had Aurobindo Society's aims and objects as the skeletal law, which was we could sell books, we could buy land, this and that. But the first law is it's a lesson in impersonalism. The first line I put, the founder Acharya is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The second line I put, the founder Acharya shall have full veto power. I forgot the name. The second line, the first line was the founder Acharya. The second line, it was a really minor mistake, but it wasn't. And he said, the second line has no name. It says the founder Acharya shall have full veto power. Who's founder Acharya? You? Because I didn't put his name, that means legally, perhaps with a loophole, I could have done it. Of course, I didn't want to. But he said, who's founder Acharya? You! And then he said, Brahmananda? Brahmananda got zapped 7,000 miles across the oceans because years before, when we were first starting in our society, Brahmananda and some of the others said, Prabhupada's God. And Prabhupada was in Japan and he got angry and he said that this is taking a branch of the tree, breaking off the limb so it could be a hatchet to cut down our whole tree, because if they were saying that Prabhupada's God and we were saying, four of us were back to back like samurais defending the movement with the New Nectar Devotion, page 59, that said the guru is representative of God. And that's what Prabhupada sent from Japan, that I'm not God, I'm servant. And so we banished them. In Detroit, Prabhupada wouldn't let them preach in the temples anymore until they purified themselves. And it was really an interesting scene because in Detroit we said south, east, west, or north. And they went south and then they left. They purified themselves, came back, but because of that, years later, miles later, Prabhupada says, who's founder Acharya? Brahmananda? I had to convene all the industrialists in Bombay to do the amendment. The man wanted bakshis. The clerk thought he was a demigod. I said, we have a press conference tonight. And I had all these names, including the head of the CID or whatever it's called in India, the FBI. And all these, it was a press conference and big men were coming. So I said, this person's coming, we're having this press conference tonight. Your name is such and such, and you want me to say that you wanted bakshis or that you didn't know the law, you wanted to bend the law, or you're fool number one. And he said, I'll sign. So I bring it to Prabhupada. I'm practically crying over the piece of paper and said, I didn't want to be founder Acharya. Now, we were living in a small hotel, the Sea Palace Hotel in Kolaba, and he gave me the silent treatment. And he called me in 3-5 times a day. for nothing, just to be around, you know, is there any cashews or something? You know, he called me in so much. We were friends. It was so nice to be with him. Suddenly he's not calling me in at all. At all, no calling me in. 3-5 times a day. And he's walking down the hall, so I said, okay, he's walking down the hall. So I get behind the wall, and he comes, and I go like this, and he goes down the hall, transcendental. His head's in Vaikuntha. And so now I have the amendment, and I said I didn't want to be founder acharya. And he said, I know that, but I could think that. So he was angry, he taught a lesson. So those are two times that I experienced anger. And thank you. Hare Krishna.